Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we have two things that we watched this week. The first is the new Angelina Jolie film, Those Who Wish Me Dead. It stars Angelina Jolie as a smoke jumper slash forest firefighter out in the wilderness, and then there's a whole complicated crime plot and just all sorts of wild things. It's directed by Taylor Sheridan. Spoiler alert for that if you plan on watching it. We do talk about the plot a little bit. And then we also started watching Hacks on HBO Max, which is about a stand-up comedian in Vegas, played by the wonderful Jean Smart. At the time of recording, we'd watched the first two episodes, which were available, so spoiler alert for those, although I don't think it ruins anything if you haven't seen it yet. We do encourage you to watch the show. And then be sure to stay tuned after the episode for a few follow-up points. And without further ado, here's We're Watching What? Alrighty, we've got Those Who Wish Me Dead. The title just felt like it had nothing to do with the movie itself. Did you watch this in a theater or HBO Max? I'm going to guess the theater.
I did a theater.
Matt did theater, but I was busy, so I had to watch it
at home. Oh. Okay. I'm per usual, a home viewer for this one. Thoughts? Initial thoughts?
I thought it was... it started out in a way that I was intrigued enough. There was a lot going on. Kind of without not a lot going on, but like a lot of things like, okay, these people are just like falling random people, didn't know why. I don't know, it just kind of got to a point where it might have been when they were running across the field with the lightning or something, where it got to a point where I was like, this is just bad. Yeah. This is not good anymore. Like, I don't know that it ever was okay, but it just, this is just bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was my general consensus, but I started laughing a lot at certain things and, you know, I had a good time.
Oh, that's good.
A good enough time, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I didn't expect much from this movie, to be perfectly honest. I did manage to watch the whole thing, though, actually, which I think is different.
Oh, that's impressive.
Considering how not great it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I could see a world where someone watching it at home might just turn it off because it gets to a point where you're like, I mean, by the time the actress who was playing John, was it, how do you say his name?
Bernthal's
wife was
pregnant. Punisher.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh,
Walking
Punisher.
Dead. Punisher.
Yeah, because I wasn't even a Walking Dead kid. So for me, he's Frank Castle. And I'm just like, you know, when we're watching Frank Castle's wife, and you know, she turned badass. But then when she's like riding a horse and like, I was like, she's Arwen just riding. I was like, what is happening?
I just didn't even know what was going on.
Like,
Like,
so I could see getting to a point being like, I'm going to turn this off or I need to get immensely inebriated to get through this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was.
You know, it had its little.
It was a bizarre movie. I don't know.
It really was because it there were so many sequences like the one I referenced about the lightning storm, which okay, I'm not a scientist. I know. I'm so surprised.
This is not a science podcast.
I don't know like the plausibility of what was going on there happening, and they're running across this open field, and I'm just thinking, like, you know, even in light of the fires and stuff that both affected you both last year with, you know, from lightning.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, in the middle of this forest, and lightning is this intensely striking the ground to the point where she literally, like, almost gets hit by it or kind of arguably gets hit by it.
Yeah.
I was just like, how is the fire not starting from that?
Mm-hmm.
That all these trees in the middle of this forest, it just was such a weird, wild, let's just throw this really crazy sequence in here for seemingly not a lot of reasons, because then when she got hit and then he caught up to her, they stopped and like sat there, and then he started to try to talk about missing his dad, and they're just having a conversation in the middle of this field, and I was like, are we no longer worried about the lightning storm that's been
I truly don't understand and should look up like what the logic of being like, you run ahead, then I'll run ahead, then you run ahead, then I'll run ahead. I'm like, is this a children's game?
I was like, I feel like it's like to reduce like static electricity or some weird thing of like being near. I have no idea, it was like either way they decided to stop and sit together for a while after that and have an emotional moment.
I feel like
And it was like,
it's one of the, I mean, to me, and I don't know if you guys felt this way, but it felt like one of those action movies where instead of coming up with a plot, they just came up with a bunch of sequences they wanted to do. And then they loosely figured out how to make it happen. So they're like, I really want to have a lightning storm battle or whatever. And then it's like, okay, and I want her to be on a horse. And then they just came up with reasons to make it happen that didn't actually make sense story-wise.
I call it like the wheel thing where it's like, lightning strike. And
yeah, right. That's what it felt like. It had no bearing on story, plot.
Right. And with sequences like that, I think what I was kind of going to get at about the science comment, and I don't really know, it was making me feel like we were watching a fantasy.
Yeah.
And I get it's fiction, but it was like, and I know this isn't the best comparison because I know, Dana, you're not a fan of the film. For justified reasons, of course, but I kept thinking of Annihilation and thinking like, if this happened in Annihilation, it would be fine.
Yeah.
Because it's like the rules of the world. The rules are so different. Whereas like this is supposed to be in our real world.
Right.
Which that is too, but it's in, you know, this whole thing that's not part of our real world. But that I was just like, this is nothing crazy is supposed to be happening here. And so, yeah, it was just so weird. And then, you know how like when you're watching a movie and of course you're watching these characters that seemingly don't have a lot in common and then you're finding out how they're connected through the story.
Yeah.
I felt like they were trying to do that here, but the problem was the characters were also connected outside of the story as well, that it was stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it was just insane that the guy who had the kid who was driving to go see Frank Castle happened to crash, and that all happened right there because the people that were hunting him down for Angelina to find his kid, who's the ex-wife of Frank Castle.
Right,
and we already saw them interacting, so it's like they were already too connected for this seemingly random series of events to connect them further.
100%.
Yeah. And so it just felt so weak.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
I was like, so why did they need to be exes? Like, because there was that moment in the beginning, I was like, are they about to make out? And they didn't. And I was like, oh, maybe. And they introduced the wife. And I said, okay, that's fine. That's totally fine. I misread the situation. Then he goes, is it weird that I was at my ex-girlfriend's or wife's or whatever? And I was like, well, wait. This woman is a woman who has dedicated, Angelina Jolie's character, who has dedicated her life to some sort of service in you know, for others. Of course, if she found a random kid in the forest, she would help them out. It doesn't matter if they are the nephew of her ex-boyfriend.
In fact, it makes more sense that it isn't. Or just don't do the stuff at the beginning where we know who they are and how, you know.
Yeah.
They can just be friends. That's fine. Yeah. They know each other. It's a small town.
Yeah, exactly. Like it just doesn't have to be. They were just, everything was so connected. And then the villains were so just like from that opening sequence when they blew up that house, or their opening scene, I guess, when that house blew up, I just thought, God, you guys are so sloppy. Like how, this is modern day, presumably, or somewhat modern. So I'm like, how are you going to walk away from that with and just assume that nobody's got cameras on you? No one's got anything. Like, you know, it's just so like, and then we made the comment later, if they see our face, they die. Like that kind of thing. I'm like, well, you're not even trying to hide your face from anything.
Yeah.
It was just like, they were so sloppy. And so, and then the whole, like, we're trying to find out where he's going and they find the one picture on the wall. And he's like, well, he must be going to here because there's a, you know.
Yeah, law enforcement. Go. Yeah.
There were the choices to get from A to B and from a script point were so illogical that I was just like, what is this? I just kept asking myself that, like, what am I watching this whole time?
I don't know, man. It was a film.
I will say, I did appreciate, when it comes to Angelina, we had the one shot of when she had to change her shirt and this and that.
I want to talk about that, yep.
But I will say, other than that, I felt like it was nice to watch her in a role where she didn't seem to be, like, overly sexualized, mm-hmm. you know, in such a way where she kind of was just like, you know, they were letting her wear what I think someone in her role would be wearing and that kind of stuff. But I also was kind of laughing at, like, while watching it, and this is something that I suffer from as well. But no matter what they did, they couldn't make her look less than stunning. Like, she just the whole time.
I said that in my review, exactly honed in on the exact same points because I was like, oh, I guess they gave her bangs to try and make her look earthy.
Yeah.
and grounded.
Minimal and all this, but she still just looked like an ethereal goddess. Like, I was thinking, Christina, I'm excited for
Eternals. Gorgeous. But so that I also was like, oh, the moment that she changes shirts and has a lacy bra on is. It's not, I feel like they thought they were not sexualizing her, but by including that scene, they're absolutely making it a sexual moment, which is so unnecessary. I was like, this film is absolutely written and made by men in that moment.
You could have the scene and not have the shot. You know what
I
mean? Because, like, you could just watch the kid the whole time as he's not watching her. She could be blurry in the background, you know?
Also,
if, like, you need it.
Look, Forest Lady Firefighter should be allowed to feel as sexy as she wants, but the logic of wearing that bra, to me, I was like, you would probably wear a sports bra. Like, it just seems more convenient to be wearing a sports bra all the time. Yeah. Or, like, no bra even. Ain't nobody around. Who are you wearing a bra for? Free the boob. Like, I don't know. It's up to you. I guess, you know, by the same token, I'm like, all right, well, you should be allowed to wear lacy underwear.
I really like lacy bras.
It just was so unnecessary.
So I wear lacy bras in some situations where most people wouldn't. So I felt seen. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. I'm not kidding in there that I do like lacy bras. But I will say that, like, I agree that they just didn't need to show it.
Yeah.
It was very clear, like, oh, wait, well, this isn't we're putting Angelina in this, so let's utilize her assets real quick. It was just very kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, she's so beautiful and so sexy and so many, and, like, basically every scene that you just don't need the naked part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
Like, or, we said, she couldn't be made ugly. They tried.
Yeah, they couldn't do it. Couldn't they tried. It even when she was all beat up later, it was still like, you want to come up?
Yeah.
Come like,
yeah.
This is fine.
The fact that it was pristine, though, but she'd been struck by lightning and all this stuff, like that, I guess that part to me was
yeah,
just
that was
yeah,
a lot.
It was this so nice, like, Victoria's Secret.
Stands out.
Yeah. It was a lot, but I appreciated that for the most part. It wasn't, like, over-sexualized. And I also appreciated that, you know, she's this female firefighter, and it wasn't a plot point from what I could tell that she was a female firefighter. Like, it's not like it was like,
ooh, I felt like it was.
Did you?
I feel like it was implied because she was the one who failed because of psych test and blah, blah, blah.
Well, she was leading that mission, and then they asked her, she failed the psych test because they were asking her things after she'd been up there for all that time by herself, or and fail after failing. Like, she felt, took it as a failure because it was her job she was leading. But I felt like it wasn't, this is a commentary on the fact that you're the weakest one because you're a female firefighter, or something. Like, it was like, didn't feel like she had to prove anything because she was female, at least to me. But on that point, I would have appreciated seeing other female firefighters.
It would have solved it if she was the leader and there was at least one other woman, right? But because they've tokenized her and made her the one person, she happens to be the leader and they were looking for someone to pin it on. But it gives you another reason to go like, oh, yeah, they were looking for someone to pin it on. And the woman was the reason, you know, if it had been a male. Because emotions and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, not equipped to...
But I guess it didn't go too deep into a thing about like you could derive that from it for sure. And so I totally respect that. But I guess, I mean, it didn't go into a thing where it was like, oh, maybe you're just not cut out for this because you're.
But yeah, the men respect, like, the other men respected her.
Yeah, didn't seem any love loss or anything like that. Or thinking badly of her because of it. And they all thought, girl, you're too hard on yourself because of this. Like, they were like, you know, they were all on her team about being like, or, you know, get over, like, this is not your fault.
Yeah. But I love that. I saw in some like ad or something like that, it was like, and Tyler Perry's new film. I was like, Tyler Perry's new film? Or like, you know, it said Angelina Jolie, but then it was like, and featuring Tyler Perry. I was like, Tyler Perry, one line.
I almost spit my icy out. Can I tell you, I had a Coke icy, of course, and I almost spit it out. Like, I really like Tyler Perry as a human. Oh, really? Okay. I don't know. From what I know of him,
I
like.
We can discuss that in a moment. Yeah.
I guess I'll say, from what I know of Tyler Perry, I do like mm-hmm. him. And I've liked a couple of his movies, this and that. And I you know. But what in the world? I keep on saying that, but it was just the most random. Like, he's just this. It was like the second this guy's walking up and the big boss, the big bad boss we're scared of was Tyler Perry, I was like, I can't. Like, just, I can't. Like, yeah. I didn't feel the threat at
like,
all.
Like, who's going to think? You know? I'm like, well, who would? I mean, of all the things to cast Tyler Perry as, I just don't understand why that.
Was he bored? Was he, you know, was like,
randomly on set and they were like, hey,
maybe he's
do you
friends
wanna...
with like Angelina Jolie. I don't,
yeah.
You just think he has,
I don't know,
to do
but
because he has a whole studio that he runs, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think. But, and then the other part was like his part in the movie and then also just the villain's storyline. The other thing that I just, aside from Nicholas Holt's neck beard that I just didn't understand why. Yeah. But aside from that, the thing I just didn't understand. Well, it's just weird. It was like you managed to kind of make him less attractive than he usually is somehow. Yes. Like,
say no to forest fires and say no to neck beards.
Neck beards. Like, just, don't do it. And to that point, don't shoot people either. But also, I just felt like their storyline and like, I don't know, if, unless I missed something that you both caught, we didn't get to learn the information, right? Like, we didn't get to learn the info that he was killing anyone over. We know he was a forensic
accountant,
financial accountant, and
yeah,
he flagged something that someone was doing wrong with their elderly grandmother or parent or grandfather, you know, like something or that they were like probably stealing from them, and so he flagged it, and so they were trying to kill them all and cover the tracks or something like that.
Yeah,
but it's like, get this to the news and the piece of paper, and we see her read the paper and all this, but we just never got to learn what it was, and I didn't feel like the story felt complete enough for me to be cool with not learning what it was. Like,
that's fair.
It didn't do that for me. Like, I was like, well, what the hell was the big deal? Like, that's the whole point of why all this is happening. Can we learn what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I feel that.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like they couldn't come up with enough, like a good enough roulette.
I just assumed.
Oh, it wouldn't have.
I absolutely assumed they just didn't come up with it, and they were just like,
yeah,
we'll keep it a mystery. It'll be more powerful that way.
I would not be sitting here liking the film more had they did, but it just was confusing to me that I was like, you really aren't going to like. Like, I thought maybe we'd see a newscast or something at the end and we'd actually get it.
It's funny that you bring that up because I feel like the movie fights itself in a lot of ways because they over-explain the relationships between everyone or like spent too much time trying to figure out that, right? And then they under-explained some things that like would have been helpful or interesting to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like it's a device that like films will use to, you know, you don't need everything, you know, and I love that when it's like the film feels complete without wrapping up this or that, you know, like it's just, it's all devices to get you from A to B and it's fine. This just was not nearly a strong enough film to satisfy it.
Agreed.
For me, where I'm like, I would have appreciated at least learning the dumb reason why, because whatever it is, it couldn't have been this important. But I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I want to talk about my favorite thing in it, which was she calls the kid Buddy. She keeps being like, hey, buddy. And he goes, oh, my dad used to call me Buddy. And I'm like, what? This is the most common nickname for kids.
Like, they couldn't come up with anything else she could call him that, like, yeah, would at
he
least
was just like,
be
oh my God.
Remotely like a nickname.
Yeah. And I'm like,
because yes,
right. She clearly forgot his name and just didn't learn it. And was just like, "Yeah, buddy," and, or like that would have been a normal person, right? Yeah. It's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna call you buddy because I don't know your
strangers
name."
Strangers
right
must have been calling him buddy his whole life because everyone does.
Everybody.
So, but it's also not unique like that, she's pointed it out.
Yeah, and I couldn't commit more time to going back and seeing if this is true or not. But I don't remember the dad ever calling him Buddy that we saw. And in fact, the reason why I think that is because I was noticing, because a lot of the dialogue, first of all, between like, you know, Frank Castle and his wife, I didn't like that first scene with them where, well, the one where they were like on the couch. I just like, this is not how people talk to each other when they're actually like, they're calling each other baby so much and this and that and the way they're acting so cheesy. I know some people probably do, but I was like, this is so embarrassing.
It's overkill. It feels, especially for so like survivalists in the wood.
Exactly. I was like, this is stupid. But then beyond that, it was like I was noticing that the dad kept calling the kid son. He's like, son, I need you to, son. He kept calling him son. And I was like, do dads? I mean, I guess some maybe do. But I'm like, where you just refer to your child as son or daughter all the time. And I remember, I kept noticing the dad doing that. And so when he said that later, my dad used to call me buddy. I remember just thinking like, did he though? I heard you call you son a lot.
That's actually so funny. Thinking about it. I don't think any, maybe it's just because it's more syllables. I don't think either in movies or in real life or whatever, anyone's ever been like, daughter. Yeah, except maybe like old timey, you know, like, daughter, go fetch the whatever. Yeah, like the men are talking. but I cannot think of an instance where in modern day somebody be like, daughter, do this.
No.
Yeah, son is definitely a bit easier to roll off the tongue, but.
It might just be like a syllabic thing.
But it's like I noticed it because he kept doing it. And so that's why the only reason I think about it is because he made the buddy comment later. I was like, but I don't like really like I would feel like then as the writer, you should have some really meaningful moment where the dad refers to him as buddy. And it's like, and maybe that happened and I missed it.
Or you just do a ditto thing. You know what I mean? Like the ghost thing where they have some sort of secret language and then, you know, she accidentally stumbles into it.
Yeah, or even like, you know, can't remember what the kid's name is, but pick a shortened version of his name and like, you know, since you get to name the kid, it's not like it's a fictional character. Pick a shortened name version of the name and like pick the rhyme that goes with it, you know, and it'd be like,
maybe it's Peter and you call him Petey or something. And it's like some weird kind of that you wouldn't know. Not everyone would
not
call him that.
Buddy, the most generic thing you could call someone is
There were a lot of things.
Like maybe you name him like
a couple
Marvin
of little moments
or something, and then she's like, she calls him her Martian or something stupid that like everyone, people
just
do,
anything
you know
but
what
buddy.
I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, anything but.
And I thought the kid had a couple of little moments where he was pretty good. I'd never seen this kid before. There were a lot where I didn't think he was all that great, but there were a couple that I thought he was like, okay, he's pretty decent. But overall, I couldn't really find, aside from Shallow, but finding Angelina attractive in it, I couldn't really think of a lot of positives.
Yeah, I firmly agree.
Like, but like I said, I enjoyed my time well enough. Would I recommend it to anyone on my own? No. But if someone's like, I really want to watch that because I think it looks good and I'm going to watch on HBO Max, I'm not going to be like, don't do it. Like,
I was just going to say, if somebody was like, oh, I'm thinking about going to the theater, would you be like, don't watch it at all? Or would you be like, watch it on HBO Max?
It depends. It's like, if you're jonesing to just go to a theater, it had theater
but
moments,
at this point, there's, you know, options, but, right? Like there's...
Right.
There's...
I'm like, well, there are other things you can watch. Yeah. I mean, I'd be like, maybe catch it on HBO Max if, you know, because it's not great, but I'm not going to stop anyone from going or try to stop anyone actively, but it's like, you know, I wouldn't recommend it.
All right. Jackie?
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, live your truth. And if this is something you really want to watch after hearing this conversation, like, go forth and conquer. But yeah, no, I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, what? Kind of surprise. I want to go back to Tyler Perry for a moment just because I left that hanging. I fully acknowledge that I think Tyler Perry does a lot of really great work. I think he's a job provider. I think, you know, there's great aspects to him. My big challenge with him was, I think it was over last summer, they were talking about he reopened filming during the pandemic and the production schedules he set were absurd. And it was all this big deal. It was like, oh, they filmed 19 episodes of a show in 4 days. And I'm like, unless it's like a 10-minute Quibi show, that's not setting a good working standard for your cast and crew.
I was like, even that is a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot. And so I'm like, oh, but because he's Tyler Perry, you know, it gets positioned as this is a good thing. Look how efficient he is. Look how whatever. And I'm like, you have a lot of clout in this industry. You are setting a dangerous standard. Like, please don't encourage people to be like, no, I can get it done. I wrote, directed, and oversaw all these things and blah, 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 and got it done in 4 days. Why can't you? Yeah. Like, it's not a fair expectation to set.
100%.
So I am like, ugh, Tyler Perry.
I feel that. And I think in every industry, people feel this, but as someone working in the entertainment side of that, the industry, in ways, it's like I've been on shows and been in things where you do feel really overworked and crazy, like, amounts of work, but it's like, you feel like if I don't do this and do it really well, there's someone right outside that'll want my job. So it's right. Like you do. It's like you can't say no.
It takes advantage. It takes advantage.
And
of like,
it is taking advantage of people that feel like they have to. And it's Tyler Perry. How are you gonna, like? You don't want to get blacklisted from the industry if Tyler Perry thinks you're a failure. You know. So it's not that he does that, but I don't know. You know.
Yeah. So that's my big like red flag on Tyler Perry.
Yeah. Well, then I'll rescind what I said. But from what
we can also acknowledge like he does good work. Like,
well, yeah. No, I don't think it takes away from his accomplishments or if he's like usually a nice person in other ways or whatever. I don't like that though. But I wouldn't say, oh, I think he's such a great person. But I've always liked him as a person. So I was not meaning to say I hated his performance or something because he sucks. It was more just like, what the hell?
Performance is being generous. I don't even know if we could.
And I guess he did the job fine, but I can't look at the man seriously because he's a comedy guy.
I just really don't understand.
And so
I just don't understand how he was there. He just wandered on a set or like, this was planned? Someone cast him?
It's just weird.
And he decided he wanted?
I feel like he's been trying to distance himself from the comedy thing for a while. True. From his personal like acting.
Maybe he doesn't want to be Madea.
You know, stuff that he's in.
He's done with like Madea.
Yeah, because he was like in Gone Girl or something like that for...
That's true.
He had like a decent sized role. I just remember I think it was a cameo. It was basically, it was like a very limited, very, very limited role in like Star Trek as a member of the Starfleet, like Admiralty or something like that. And he did fine and it was fine, but I'm still like, it's not like a meaty acting role.
I think it's also a difference in like, not to go on a whole aside, but I also saw Spiral this weekend, which I'm guessing neither of you will watch, but Chris Rock is in it and is playing, he's doing comical things, but he's playing a serious role. Right. Mm-hmm. It's this like dark Saw horror film. Right. And it worked enough for his acting worked enough for me because it's like the role just was OK and it had some humor. This was like, this guy is supposed to be this terrifying like boss that we're worried about failing because he's going to like, and I just couldn't. I was like, he could play a serious role. It's just that kind of level of role, even though, again, it's
okay, because the thing is,
much, but I just was like, this
I'm not
saying
like the thing is, I do believe, I mean, I don't know, but. I have found that I think that most comedic actors have better acting chops than they're given credit for. But I will say that this isn't meaty enough for that. Like, he didn't have enough of a backstory or interest or anything. He was supposed to, it needed someone who just looked intimidating and was able to say lines occasionally, like a Jason Statham type of person. Well, so it's not even really acting ability, I think, in this. It's literally just like because the character was so shallow, you needed someone who just looked the part.
I don't think we ever needed to meet the character.
No, we didn't.
Is what it came down to.
We didn't. We should.
But because we did, and it was, you know, but it was so shallow of a role that you needed someone who just, you know, what's his name? Drax would be, you know, anyone who just looks intimidating. Would work.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say, I was like, who would you cast instead? But I don't even think, only because I more associate Dave Bautista with like comedy now, ironically. Yeah. But yes, I agree. Like, you need somebody, but I you just don't need to see anybody, is what I think.
No, you don't need to see anyone. But if you're gonna do it, it's like
it should just be some bodybuilder. You know what I mean? Or some like.
But I laugh.
I feel like it should actually be like a skinny, scary, like behind the scenes sure. person, right?
Into that
like,
also.
A bodybuilder could just be out there doing it themselves, theoretically, yeah. right? It's like, why aren't they doing the dirty work?
A skinny, scary. You gotta love a skinny, scary.
You gotta know? Love a skinny,
those skinny scaries.
Little, you gotta watch out for them.
They always get you.
Like, no, street
slide through places.
Steve Buscemi.
I was thinking about Steve Buscemi, but I think it's because Jackie and I were talking about Monsters, Inc. before, yeah. and I'm like, oh, Randall.
Yeah. He's scary.
Fuck it, just cast Randall for Monsters, Inc. instead of Tyler Perry.
But, I mean, I don't care who you cast. I just think someone who, you know, because Tyler Perry is just like an attractive black man. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that, you know, he doesn't visually look like a villain. And I'm not saying he couldn't act like one or find it, but this was such a shallow role that it just needed a different look.
I totally agree. I think Steve Buscemi, I still would have laughed at. I think it's also the kind of thing where I'm like, it's just because the role wasn't given anything, like you said. It's just that like this scene was the only thing the scene needed to accomplish was to make me feel like these villains really needed to do what they were doing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like I needed to feel the threat that they were afraid of. And Tyler Perry just wasn't going to get that done for me. Like, big bodybuilder or like a really skinny scary, like you could go there, but it's almost like if you're going to do it, it probably should have been someone we don't even know, you know.
This is my RIP Christopher Lee.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, deliver one line. Skinny scary, sour mom. Say that 10 times fast.
You know who's another skinny scary that always gets me? He's probably more than pleasant in real life. I don't know, but I saw him in person one time, and I confirmed it was frightening for me. But Willem Dafoe. Like, he's a skinny scary for me. I'm sure he's...
I love that this is... The more we say it, the more I'm laughing.
But he is. I mean, he just has this, like, threatening kind of, like, unhinged thing about him that, like, I don't know what he's going to do.
Oh, that's funny. I don't associate that with him.
I feel like Cillian Murphy is like that for me.
Yeah?
Oh, see, I think Cillian Murphy's very pretty, actually. Mm-hmm. Because has anyone seen Breakfast on Pluto, I think it's called? Yeah, that's like, the role for him that sticks in my mind. And so I'm like, oh, you have very... His features can be very.
See, different. Obviously he's been in so many things, but I jumped to Red Eye.
Yeah.
And Red Eye, he was such a creep.
Did not see that, but I am aware such of.
Yeah.
I just think of him as a creep. So I don't know. Like maybe it's Red Eye's fault. I'm not really sure, but.
And Scarecrow, and he's been in something.
Yeah, or like Penny Dreadful, he's like a little bit more intimidating, but I don't know. I think he's actually very pretty.
He's got like a striking thing about him.
Yeah, I'm not against him. I mean, I wouldn't say I wouldn't. Oh, I have him a friend who will ride. But I would just say, like, and I, you know, but I do think he's got that. Like, but I love a villain, so I don't. I mean, that's attractive to me sometimes. So,
I'm gonna throw out Tom Hardy thoughts.
I could believe it. I love Tom. I could believe it. He seems very nice to me, but I think he's one of those ones who.
Really but just in terms like of like screen presence, yeah, like,
he
you
can
know.
Play a threatening presence. I think he could kick my ass.
I don't he's think he's skinny, so scary, but he's yeah. like, you
know. No. He's bulky, scary. Like.
Yeah, he's bulky, bulky. I don't know, it'd be weird, but yeah, he's
bulky, brawny, bulky.
No, but to be
brawny, bulky, yeah,
scary. He's thick and threatening.
Ah, there we go.
He is.
He's threatening. Yeah.
Sign me up. Yeah. I'll take that over the skinny scary.
Oh, every day. Yeah, all day.
Skinny scary TM. All right. Well, moving on to nothing having to do with skinny scaries. we watched Hacks.
Hack.
With the delightful Gene Smart. Yeah. What did you do? Oh, wait, I want to remind you one. Generally speaking, are you two fans of the world of comedy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not usually huge into stand-up. I've gotten more into it in the last year or two. I have a friend who's super into it and will, like, recommend things.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've been getting these, like, Netflix specials and this and that, and I, you know, as much as, I mean, this will date my comedy knowledge, but as much as, like, I happen to like Amy Schumer in movies, I think she's funny. And so when she would have an HBO...
That's not that old.
Well, no, I'm meaning it'll make, like, I'm new to this. Like, that's
okay,
what I mean.
Okay,
yeah.
I was like,
she's
what?
Not. No, that's what I mean is I'm not, like, going to reference some, like, ancient comedy person who is a legend, right? Yeah. Like, I'm like, because I've liked her in her movies when she had her HBO leather special or whatever she has, I've watched those. And I've watched them. Or I watched Hannah Gadsby because I heard great things about it. Like, so I've gotten more into it in recent years. Went to a show with Kathy Griffin. I thought it was hilarious, you know? So I like it more now, but I wasn't super into it before.
Okay.
I like stand up, but
okay.
I'm fairly limited on it. I watch a lot of Netflix specials, but that's pretty much it. I mean, I go to some shows. I have seen some comedians, obviously. Well, when we could go to shows, but
sure.
I I'm not like, I wouldn't say I stan anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like obsessed with it where I'm like, you know, keeping track of who's new and what's up and coming and whatever. It has to be fairly pop culture before it hits my radar. Mm-hmm. I will say, as far as comedy as a genre in TV and film, I'm hit or miss pretty hard on it. I have a very specific sense of humor, which I'm sure anyone who listens to this podcast on a regular basis has realized. I don't.
And you're easily embarrassed.
I'm very, very easily.
Secondhand embarrassment.
Very, very easily embarrassed. Secondhand embarrassment is something I cannot handle. And the older I get, the worse I get about it. Matt will literally be watching me and I'll be like crawling into my sweater, trying not to watch what's happening on the screen for something that most people would find mildly embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So if it is like the embarrassing type of humor, I'm not going to like it. I'm also not huge into physical comedy. I don't find very funny, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. So it, I don't know if it sounds pretentious, but I'm more cerebral with my comedy. I like a dark.
No, I think
I like
fair.
A dark, witty comment. I like a dry comment someone makes to someone else. Those are the things I find funny over the overt. Like, I'm not a Jim Carrey fan, I guess.
Yeah, good news. This is full of those dry, witty comments. I bring it up because I don't know what the switching point was, and it wasn't ever intentional, but I feel like I, for some reason, have absorbed a lot of information about the comedy industry. And there's still a lot, like, I'm not in necessarily, like, I love comedy. I think it's very funny. I love to laugh, but I wasn't ever setting out to be like, there's like, I call it like the cult of UCB, which UCB itself, the Upright Citizens Brigade, has its own huge problem in terms of some of the sexual stuff. But anyway, like, there's people who just get really into like improv, right? And they like live, eat, breathe improv. That is not me with stand up or improv or anything like that. But I have sort of absorbed a lot of information about it, which I feel like added an extra layer of humor to the show Hacks, because it's about a stand up comedian, obviously.
I could see that.
Yeah, but I was curious if the two of you had that mild background and if it was still enjoyable with or without.
I was gonna say, my biggest problem with the show is that it's weekly, because I love it.
I was like, I had a really good time watching it. And yeah, my knowledge, I mean, I've gone to some improv before, but it's never like my favorite thing.
I was gonna say,
improv and stand-up are so different, I think. Right.
I'll have a good time at improv sometimes, but you know, it's so hit or miss.
Improv is more is riskier in my mind, because like, you just don't know, and it's so off the cusp, and like, they could make a fool of themselves because they just
get embarrassed.
Stand-up is a little more rehearsed in a way that they could still fall on their face, but you know, you're talking about how with, I think both of us, it's like, it's hitting pop culture already before we're getting it. We're not like watching the things that are like total misses. We're watching the things that are probably
right, that have something,
and they're
been
entertaining.
Like, yes, this is, yeah.
Improv is so risky. And I will say, to your point, Dana, like, about having a deeper love for this because of that, I could totally see that being true, but I would, and I actually texted my friend who loves stand-up immediately and was like, you need to watch the show. And I think that she'll love it. But I would argue also that they do a good enough job of like, yes, it's the stand-up backdrop, but like, it's so doesn't matter with the show.
Because
it's
all about their
working relationship.
Honestly.
It's giving Devil Wears Prada vibes, honestly, as far as their
dynamic. I feel like Jean Smart's character could really be any kind of performer that needs help in the background.
Or just a pseudo celebrity,
right,
really.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of.
Yeah, part of me is like, well, I guess like it needs to be somebody where it's a potentially collaborative role, right? Because like the whole conceit of, oh, bringing in somebody else who's newer or, you know, can bring another perspective. Because like, I can't, well, I guess a singer works too.
But she could be, you know, a fashion designer. She could be a singer.
Yeah,
she could
which
be
we'll
anyone
talk about
who's
for
got
Halston
like,
next week.
Basically, anyone who needs a younger, fresher view, but is like, you know, old school.
Yeah.
I've done this for a long time. You know, like, what?
Yeah. So yeah, I guess you're right. Any sort of performer.
I actually thought this was going to be like the movie. God, I didn't actually watch this movie, and I did mean to, but it was the Mindy Kaling movie about being a late night.
Oh, late night?
Yeah, I might have watched.
Yeah.
I might have watched some of it.
I didn't watch it with you.
No, but I think,
so I don't know.
For some reason, now that I said that I didn't watch it, I feel like I did, but I don't remember. I don't know.
I loved late night, but
I found that surprisingly enjoyable.
Yeah, but it reminded me of that premise, basically. Like, the younger person, I really feel like I did watch it now because I remember laughing at some of the stuff that I don't, but maybe it was just a trailer. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I don't know, I love Late Night, but I saw that at Sundance and it was like, do I have Sundance goggles on? Because I was really excited because I think also, in addition to the comedy part, I was just like, any woman who's in a workplace will be able to relate the humor that was in Late Night. Just because it's, again, going back to the whole Angelina Jolie thing, ironically, it's like, oh, there's only one woman. You can only have one female talk show host. This is similar. It's like, oh, there's probably one female stand-up on Vegas Strip, etc. I feel like the show came out of nowhere for me and suddenly a bunch of TV critics were like, watch the show. And I was like, okay, well, people who I actually respect are saying this. And Jean Smart on Watchmen, I thought was so good. And so seeing this, I was just like, I love this so much.
Yeah, I knew about it because Jean Smart and I kind of follow her in ways. And so I knew about it, but it did sneak up. And then I did watch it Thursday, right when it dropped. And I like that it's weekly. I have something to look forward to. So I was halfway joking, but really I wanted to just like consume all of it. Because again, it's so easy. It's 30 minutes and they're funny. They're heartfelt. It manages to do the thing for me that a lot of shows have not been able to do. But it's managed to put, so this younger character who is a person that I don't like for all intents and purposes as far as like the type of entitlement and stuff that these like younger generations of people, and our generation's accused of it as well, millennial and everything after us, where it's like you just think you just deserve everything and this and that, you know, and, you know, consequences for things. And I know cancel culture is a big conversation in here as well. But I don't like how whiny she is about a lot of stuff, but I managed to like not actually hate her in the show, which is interesting. I'm still rooting for her. They're doing it well.
So what I also really appreciate that the way that they present her is not necessarily, neither of them are particularly likable, to be honest. I mean, obviously I love Jean Smart, whatever, but neither character is particularly likable. And I love that because they're real people. They're like multifaceted people. And I find that such a more interesting than these characters, you know, you have to root for or not root for. And what I've been really enjoying is that it surprises me. I love that she had to fake smash the vase in order to get him to sell her the pepper shaker or whatever it was at the end of the episode. Like I just felt like narratively it would just be like so obvious. Like she spills her heart out to him and is like blah blah blah.
And it looked like he was
gonna give her the in. And then he didn't. And I loved that because it's just like so few things surprise me.
It flips.
Yeah.
Things.
And there's so many times, like there's often times in this movie, TV show where I was surprised by what happened. You know, if you can do that, I'm pretty in.
And I think it comes down to having not necessarily likable protagonists, right? Where it's like, oh, bad behavior can be really interesting because so more often than not, you know, people behave in this like paragon way. And yes, we want to be respectful of a lot of things, but sometimes it's just funny. Like sometimes there's just so much humor that can come from being a little off kilter like that.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I agree with that entirely because they're both not likable. I mean, I am always, it's like, they're not likable, but you know, I'm a very Madeline Ashton, Miranda Priestly, like that's always going to be my character. Yeah. Whenever you have this like divalicious older diva lady, who's just not nice to anybody, I'm always going to end up loving her in shows. It's funny because it doesn't work when it's a man for me, but when it's a woman, I love that character always. But as a human being, she's not very nice.
Yeah. I'm always rooting for that character too. So like I'm all about it when she leaves her in the desert by herself, you know, telling her to take care of her car.
Getting picked up by a helicopter.
I mean, come on. I'm obsessed with that.
It's a Bentley. It doesn't have a spare. Yeah, like,
loved everything about it. It's got heated cup holders, but no.
Yeah, but no spare tire.
Yeah, so I thoroughly enjoy that type of character, but I will also criticize the fact that she's not very nice.
Yeah, if I was working for her, I wouldn't be thrilled. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's...
Yeah. But you're also, the character who's working for her is also so entitled and feels... And I think they did a really good job establishing that with the way she interacts with the friend. She's like, I thought it was so funny when she just like turns... leaves her car in the street. He's like, oh my god, and like being opportunistic, because I'm like, ooh, I have to acknowledge that deep down that is something that theoretically under the right circumstances I could see myself doing. Not proud of it, not proud of the fact that that's something I could see myself doing, but like we all have those moments of like, I see this opportunity and I'm ambitious and I need to pounce on it.
And I could agree with that too, but like those circumstances I couldn't see you doing that.
No, I wouldn't do that, but it was still like the car part and just being like,
you know, it's a TV dramatized version of it.
That whole sequence, I was like, ooh, you do not want me to like this woman. And then, like, she still won me over, even though I was like, this is exactly what I just don't
like.
I
love that she just, like,
feels so old.
I love that she just, like, truth blurts all the time, like, weird shit. Because I feel like, I feel like I've been there, you know, where I'm just, like, spilling random details about my life that this person really doesn't care about, but I am just, you know, saying that.
Yeah.
So I like that about her, her lack of filter. I like that the reason that bonds them is making that joke better, you know, that she lost all everything over.
Yeah.
That to me was like, I was like, oh, this feels like a very inside comedy moment, but that, like, they made accessible universally, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you're collaborating. And Matt, to go back to what you were saying about when it's a female character, you're all about it. And when it's a male character, I think it's just because at this point in time, we know if you're seeing a successful female character that they had to work like four times as hard
exactly.
to get there.
And she's
right?
earned
they have
that and she's
in.
Holding on to it. You know what I mean? And it's like, and there's something fun about like the glamorous like diva thing that when it's like,
but
some
she still changes
crusty,
her own carbonation.
I know, was interesting.
But when it's like that, like some crusty old man, you're kind of like, oh, just go away.
Well,
you know,
he
like,
didn't work.
Different. But yeah,
like,
I agree.
Well, no, it's not fair. Some of them.
Yeah, it's like, of course, like, no. It's like, chances are you're probably like, of course you have this.
Which is
like
why that. I like.
And even if he did, it's just still not as
fun. You know? And so yeah. I like the moments that they give each other too, because they're kind of learning from each other, which I think is fun. You know, I like when she's like, oh, you think this is hard? Like, why would you think this is hard?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And really giving her sort of the reality of that.
I agree with that. And honestly, I think partly what makes me kind of drawn to the younger character as well, I can't remember her name, but is, you know, we've all had these jobs and you have to work your way up and do this and that and do some not glamorous things and jobs. And I know I've had certain positions even recently on shows and stuff with certain talent that is so just like, you know, their shit don't stink. And it's kind of like, you know, you just got to like deal with all this different stuff that like I was relating to some of the lack of direction and the whole just kind of like, well, figure it out. Like, you know, that kind of stuff that like we all get hit with that and you have to just learn to. And so I like watching her learn to just have to deal with that. And mm-hmm. it's kind of refreshing because a lot of times I feel like you either
like
see
a reflection
that,
of
or a lot of times you see it in like a Devil Wears Prada way, which I know everybody referenced that, but where it's a lot of those things are so over the top and very specific to that industry, I think, and like that circumstance. But like a lot of these things are very kind of more, it's over the top, but it's also very real world. Like I've dealt with some of these weird little scenarios on shoots.
Well,
already,
but also I think
like this is how people really are.
I really like that she's the younger character sort of fighting back on this like mythos that you have to do these crazy things in order to be successful, right? Like you shouldn't have to bootlick or like whatever to get there. But I also like the reality of like, no, I mean, you still kind of have to do that, right? I don't know. I like the sort of push and pull of it, I guess, of like, she's not wrong that she shouldn't have to do that. But then also at the same time, like we see the desperation and that she needs, you know, what she needs and what the system looks like now, you know?
Yeah, I think it's very reflective of like having a job right now, just in any industry, right? Matt, I think you probably are able to relate to it more closely just because you are in entertainment. And so there's like, you know, there's a little more parallel there, but I truly think it's a very hyperbolized world they're living in, but it's still like, you know, if you're like an office PA, you could still probably find
it. They've still made it relatable. Many people across different industries have had that boss who's just kind of like impossible and like doesn't explain what they need, but needs you just to do it. And all this kind of, you know, like we've all been in situations like that.
Just figure it out. Like, I don't care. It's not my problem.
Yeah. And if you get it wrong, you're dead. But like, if you get it right, it's like, well, yeah, you better, you know, and
it's
just
like,
kind of
that
moving
was your
on.
Job.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's like, we've all had that kind of situation in different ways. I say, many people have, so it's relatable.
Yeah. All right. Well, looking forward to continuing.
Yeah, I highly recommend. I already, like I said, I already did text friends and say watch this immediately. So I will be telling people to watch it. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think you should be watching it if you're not.
Cool. Well, thank you both. We will continue watching Hacks and other things next week.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt. And now a couple of follow-up points. In terms of Those Who Wish Me Dead and the reason that they were taking turns running across a field in a lightning storm, the reason I could find, or I guess what I'm assuming the reason that they had that sequence is because I guess lightning seeks the highest ground to strike. So I guess the tallest object to strike. And so if you are out in an open field, and you are running across it, you are the tallest object. And so I suppose that the reason that they were taking turns, like one of them would run and then crouch, and then the other would run ahead and crouch, is so that both of them wouldn't get knocked out or struck at the same time, so one could still be conscious and take care of the other. I don't know the logic of that in terms of a little kid taking care of a fully grown adult, even from like a physical hauling perspective, but I guess that's the thing. And the guidance generally says if you are caught outdoors during a lightning storm, stay low to the ground, but also avoid lone trees and tall objects when hiking. And then you squat in a baseball catcher's position to minimize contact with the ground and do not lay flat. Who knows if this ever happens to you? Maybe this movie will save your life. And then the other correction I have is when we were talking about our skinny, scary casting choices, I said that Cillian Murphy is in Penny Dreadful. He is not. He is in Peaky Blinders. Penny Dreadful is another show that vaguely similarly looks visually, sort of stylistically the same. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a rating or a review or even consider subscribing.